We will continue our series of studies in this important psalm, Psalm 23, and I would like you to join me in putting it together. We've had a couple of months in this psalm, and by now it should be well scarred in your memory, indelibly imprinted on your heart, and it will be a source, I trust, of encouragement and blessing to you. Let's say it together, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Some students of this psalm suggest that the picture changes with this particular verse, that from verses 1 through 4, the psalmist, or the sheep, has been speaking about the lovely relationship that he has with the shepherd, talking of the times that they have had together, of the provision of the sheep's need. But now they would say that the psalmist turns to the banqueting house and goes indoors and sits down with the Lord, and there they have a meal together. Even Ryrie fails to see the smooth continuity of flow of thought from the beginning to the end of the psalm. Because the long trip from the home range for the sheep to the high mountain is finished. And this verse brings into close focus their arrival on the top of the mountains. And so much would be lost in this particular psalm, and the whole picture left unfinished and truncated, if we were to say, let's move into the banquet hall and have dinner with the Lord. What the psalmist is trying to help us understand is that the story of Psalm 23 is the life of a sheep for a whole year. And the goal of the shepherd and the goal of the sheep is to arrive at the early part of the summertime on the high alpine mountains, and there they would feed for all of the summer, and then turn around and come back down through the valley, through the storms and the mountains, back down to the home ranch. And the psalm concludes by saying, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It is that kind of context that verse 2 brings us. It is the introduction to a beautiful culmination to the complete story of the year-long ministry of the shepherd and the sheep, and that intimate relationship that is developed as they have spent time together. What a loss to remove one of the highest and most heroic acts of the shepherd and move inside for dinner. Really, the picture is of the shepherd laying before the sheep that wonderful and beautiful and luscious pasture that he has carefully planned out for the sheep high up in the mountain peaks, a place where he will spend the whole of the summer with them. And all during the long trip from the home ranch up through the valley, in the midst of the storms, by side cave, over rivers and streams, the shepherd has had his mind on a piece of pasture high up in the elevation that he himself has prepared for his sheep. I call this reservation. The shepherd has reserved this piece of ground for his sheep, and he has carefully readied it for them. And here the sheep continues to boast, continues to praise the shepherd and tell of the wonderful blessings that the shepherd has for the sheep. And it's a great cost and great risk of life that the shepherd has provided this particular pasture. This piece of ground is just for his sheep. It belongs to him. And he is carrying his sheep with great care, with great concern for their safety, from the home ranch all the way up through the valley of the shadow of death, across streams and rivers, down valley, up mountain, and they finally arrive on this beautiful piece of ground, and it says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Now, there are four simple ideas that are found in this text. And I don't begin to suggest that I would give to you some great exposition that is not familiar to you because of the psalm. But it brought boundless comfort to God's people for 2,500 years. Those who have particularly sat in persecution and suffering because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have tried to follow the Savior, and in following the Savior, they have been the butt of criticism, persecution, and perhaps even their life has been threatened. They can say, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy." But David is the author. And David knows what it means. David, you remember, was a fugitive from Saul. And how many times it's recorded for us that David made his ways in the midst of mountains and valleys, in hills and caves of the earth, Saul all the time chasing him, expecting that his life might be taken from the earth. And David can say, as perhaps you and I cannot say, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Perhaps the relative ease of living the Christian life in our country and in our community has caused us to miss the encouraging words that are brought out here. It doesn't cost you much to live for Christ in our country and in our community. Few of us would say we have an enemy that is opposed to us and is against us, and it's necessary for God to wonderfully provide a table in the wilderness so that we can feast there. But I can tell you that those behind iron curtains, those who have suffered and who have been persecuted, those who are meeting perhaps even at this moment in caves and in corners of homes, whose very life may be threatened because they open the Word of God, they can say in a way that you and I perhaps may never say, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy." I want to look at four things. I want to look first of all at the preparation. "Thou preparest a table before me." Now the work of the shepherd, all during the year, is to try and provide the kind of atmosphere, the kind of climate within which those sheep can grow and mature and develop and multiply. That is his concern. I'm sure perhaps some of you mothers could get the idea that is maybe going through the shepherd's mind. You've spent hours preparing a lovely meal, and the family sits down, and in 13 and a half minutes they wolf it down, get up from the table and leave. And you say, "Isn't it a shame? I spent all this time preparing this meal, and it's gone in 12 minutes. What's the blessing?" I can understand that too. As an under-shepherd, you spend 10 or 12 hours preparing a homiletic message, and the meal is devoured in 35 and perhaps 40 minutes, and maybe very few even come to eat, let alone remember what they were served. Preparation is a tremendously important part of the shepherd's care. And he spends a large percentage of his lifetime preparing for those sheep. And it says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Psalm 78 verse 19 asks the question, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? That's a question the nation of Israel asked. They were walking through the wilderness. They had already rejected God in some ways. And they asked the question, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And God, of course, answers in that same psalm and in several other psalms. He says, "Yes, I did. I gave you bread, angels' food to eat from heaven. I gave you flesh. I gave you water in the midst of a wilderness." He said, "I prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies." Israel asked the question, and God answered the question. Now, the word "prepare" is an interesting word. It's the same word as "furnish" in chapter 78 and verse 19. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? And the word "prepare" means to, it's an old word which means to struggle. It's a word which suggests the idea of a woman kneading bread. And you know that bread can't be made in just a few minutes. It takes kneading and then let it rise and then kneading again. And it suggests a struggle that goes on to prepare a lovely feast, a lovely meal. And that's what the Lord has done. There is preparation involved. The cost of the shepherd to make this lovely alpine table the enjoyable peace of his sheep is a costly experience, very often at risk to life, a great involvement of time. The table is finally spread for his sheep. Thou preparest a table. And the struggle that is involved is something that you and I need to understand when we sit down at the table. I suppose it would be good for all of us if we had to prepare the meal for the family on occasion to realize how much was involved with standing over the hot stove and in front of the oven and whatever else. Maybe a study in homiletics would be helpful too. So he would enjoy the feast of homilies. Only God can truly provide an adequate table. But he does. And here is the sheep again. And he is boasting, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. It's like a dietitian who knows exactly what the body needs and carefully outlines exactly what is to be eaten for the good health of that person. The knowledge of the sheep is one of the ingredients that makes our shepherd so special. And let's look then at this preparation. We find in his preparation there is, first of all, an anticipation of our needs. The shepherd knows just what the sheep needs and what that sheep will need after the long trip up the valley and across the hills and across the streams, and they arrive finally at that great pasture. He knows what they need. And that's what makes him a shepherd. It isn't the hired hand. It isn't the servant or a slave who prepares this. It's the shepherd, because the shepherd knows what the sheep need. Most of us as parents think we do a pretty good job with our children. We think we know what they need. We think we provide a fairly balanced diet, and the food is good. We get them the clothes and the education. And we may be somewhat concerned with their spiritual needs. It's because we anticipate their needs. And before the child even begins to holler, we've already got the food prepared, because we anticipate the needs. The Lord does the same. He knows the needs that we have. And as prayer is suggested, before you call, I will answer. And it is the ministry of this shepherd to anticipate our needs before they ever get to the Alpine Hill. He has already provided something that will be succulent and satisfying to their physical needs. Secondly, there is the arrangement of our need. Most of us as parents do that job well, and we arrange for their needs. And the shepherd here, if we think we do a good job, how much more the Father? There is the arrangement ahead of time, anticipating that need. He puts them together, and when the sheep arrive, there is the food. Without any concern by the sheep, they walk out on that lovely meadow, that lovely tableland, and they begin to eat. They eat in rest. They eat in security and in safety, because the shepherd has not only anticipated their need, he has arranged. He's done the same thing for you and I. I can tell you that a year from now, when you have a special need, he has already anticipated and arranged for that provision. You may not take advantage of it. You may not receive from his hand that provision that he has made. But I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God that he has made arrangements for that time of suffering, that time of difficulty and distress through which you may go. He has anticipated that need, and he has arranged for its provision. The sheep have gone to the high plateau. Long before they arrive, the shepherd has gone there already. He has been there. He may have made several trips to that hill. And there on that hill, he will carefully choose that part his sheep are going to feed on. He has readied it. It is a piece of ground that is good for the sheep. It is a table. And because it is of his choosing, it is good for his sheep. There is, thirdly, the attendance to our need. The shepherd, before ever the sheep make their way up that hill or up that high mountain, he will go his way. He will go to that hill. He will search out and he will seek to find what was going to interfere with the feeding of those sheep. And then he himself will be there and guide them up those last few feet, up those last few hills. He will bring them, and there he will feed his sheep. So often the sheep try to meet their own needs along the way. You remember, as we talked some weeks ago, about the sheep who got thirsty and would stop here in this foul water or go to that poisonous plant seeking to satisfy its own need. The shepherd knowing full well that need, he has already prepared a lovely feast on top of that table and there they will eat, and he will be there. Notice those two pronouns. Thou preparest a table before me. And I want to cover that in a few minutes. He comes to fulfill our most pressing need. Just he and I. Just the two of us together. And he is there to attend our needs. If we are standing behind him and he pulls some fruit off of a tree, he reaches down and he hands it to us and we enjoy it. But it's from his hand, through his preparation, through his readying of a piece of ground that we can eat and participate. And then there is fourthly the appointment of our needs. He knows what we have need of because very often he has created that need. Now, I'm not sure if that fits into this psalm, but I want to just stop for a moment because it's such an important ingredient of the Christian life. So many times he creates a need so that he can fill it. That's my shepherd. He's the one who has lived and died, the one who has been raised from the grave, and is today my living shepherd, and he's been there. Sometimes in my life and sometimes in yours, he'll bring me through deep waters so that I will know the love and care of his crook reaching down and pulling me out. He will bring me through parched ground so that I'll know the need of pure, clean, clear mountain water. He'll bring me through barren pasture to help me realize that the mountain table, with all of its lush green which has been growing since the early spring, heavy with dew, cool from the mountain air, is something that I will really enjoy. He brings me through an area of need, through an area of suffering, through an area of difficulty and distress, so that I will know I need him. If my life and yours had no trials and no difficulties, was always flourishing, always success and no problems and no sickness, we would turn away from the Savior because we would think we would never need him. And so there are times when he appoints my need. He brings me through that dark valley, the valley of the shadow of death, so that I know I can enjoy the light of his presence. There is his preparation. There is secondly his pasture. The word table, thou preparest a table. The word table simply means a spread out place that fits the high mountain pasture. The shepherd table would be a simple skin that was unfolded and carefully laid out on the ground, and there they would have what you and I would call a picnic, except it was every meal. And that sheepskin or that animal skin that was laid out, carefully folded out and laid down, that was the table. That was the place of their meeting together. That was the place of their enjoyment of a feast. It might be bread, it might be dried crumbs, it might be dried fish, and perhaps some water. But it was that table that was prepared by the shepherd. You see that the sheep is not thinking of some great banquet and a great table and a tremendous feast set by some lord without any expense to him. That's not it. The shepherd has brought his sheep to a great spread out place, and there the sheep will feast together. It's a table. And if we look very carefully, we realize that the large pasture high up in the mountain is the table he's talking about here. One of the classic examples is in Cape Town, South Africa. And there you have Table Mountain. And if you know Swahili, and those of you who know Spanish, I think the word for table is mesa. And it's the idea of a large plateau, a large piece of land, and that land is a pasture. That's where the sheep are feeding. And that's where the shepherd has brought them. How the shepherd wants our summer mountain time to be a time of enjoyment and blessing. What joy it must bring to him to see him, to see us enjoying that table that he has so carefully provided. Now, the Christian life can be a mountaintop experience. It can be a mountaintop experience if, in fact, we have come up through the valley, perhaps to the shadow of death. We finally come to the hilltop, and there on that hilltop is that low, flat plateau, and that prepared by the shepherd. And we can enjoy it, and we can participate in it. We can feed on it, rest in it, and enjoy the presence of the shepherd. How many times the Lord has prepared a table in the wilderness? Can you not look back through your Bible and you can see many, many times when God has provided for his people? Can you see the nation of Israel for 40 years walking through the wilderness and God provides bread from heaven every morning and the ground became their table? He smote the rock and out of the rock came water. He provided flesh for them. He provided a table in the wilderness. Can you think of Elijah? Elijah there without any water, without any food. The ground is his table, and the ravens brought him food twice a day. Can you see him seated with a widow in the middle of it, in the midst of his enemies? Elijah is there, the meal of, the barrel of meal wasted not. The cruse of oil didn't fail. Why? The Lord prepared a table in the midst of his enemies. You see him away out in the cave, Elijah by himself, and the angels themselves come and bring him food. Hagar, another one out in the desert, about ready to die, and God provides food there in the midst of the wilderness. And when our Lord Jesus Christ came and planted his feet upon this soil and walked up and down the land of Israel, city of Jerusalem, there came 5,000 to him at one time. And he said, make the men sit down. And they sat down in number about 5,000 besides women and children. And the Lord prepared a table in the wilderness. Another occasion, 4,000. Think particularly of the Passover. And the children of Israel were about ready to leave the land of Egypt. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as the great Jehovah, he was the one who came and said that they should take a lamb and kill that lamb and place the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. And the enemy around them, all of the Egyptians, upset by the plagues that had come upon them all this time, were on the outside. And what were the children of Israel doing? Sitting at the table with the Passover lamb, and they were feeding on the lamb. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Perhaps no table pictures this verse better than the Lord's table prepared by Christ himself. Your mind goes back to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ took his disciples and he gathers them around him and they file into that upper room. And there in the upper room, he had the Passover feast with his disciples. And when the Passover feast with the disciples was finished, he takes the bread and said, this bread is a symbol of my body which is broken for you. This do ye as oft as ye drink, is eating. In like manner also he takes the cup, and after supper he had said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. Drink, all of you, from it. He prepared a table. And that table was prepared at the highest possible cost. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as he said those words, this bread is a symbol of my body which is broken. This cup is a symbol of my life poured out. Do you realize, can we understand the cost involved of establishing that table? We throw a meal on for a couple dollars a person. The Lord Jesus Christ broke the bread at the cost of his own life. He gave us a cup filled with the symbol of his own precious blood. The cost of all that he is and all that he has. There was never a simpler feast, but there was never a more costly feast. Can you not see the shepherd going ahead of the sheep up to the high mountain in that lovely plateau, carefully taking care of the enemy, laying that table for them, and then he himself sitting down, as it were, with them? He's done that. And he does that every time the Lord's Supper is celebrated. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He prepares a table, a simple table, in the midst of their enemies. The 11 disciples had gathered around the table, the table of suffering, the table of sorrow. Was a table that involved all that Jesus Christ was about to do. And on the outside of those doors were all of his enemies. Psalm 22 describes them as animals seeking to destroy him. But he, in the midst of his disciples, in utter peace, breaks the bread and passes the cup. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The table of trust. The table that pasture is never enjoyed unless there's perfect trust. How can the sheep enjoy that lovely pasture unless they trust the shepherd? But the message so clearly tells us earlier, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. And because I trust my shepherd, because I know very carefully that he has laid out this piece of ground for me, I can rest there. I can enjoy it. It's also a table of truth. So much is learned, so much is wrapped up in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I can't help but go back again to the Lord's table, to the Lord's Supper, and see here is truth that is appreciated. Here is truth that can be enjoyed, expanded, enlarged. Here is truth that can be appropriated. And it's my shepherd and I, sitting at the table that he himself has prepared at infinite cost. And he invites me to this table of trust, to this table of truth. What sorrow it must be to the shepherd to prepare such a feast for the sheep at such a cost and invite so many and so few come to feast. Somehow I failed in my ministry to help you see, to help communicate the joy and the privilege and the pleasure of feasting at this table prepared by the Lord at an infinite cost in the midst of his enemies. Somehow I fail to help us understand that he has prepared this table in the midst of our enemies. It is a joy. It is a privilege. Thirdly, there is the protection. It's in the presence of mine enemies. When the shepherd goes from the ranch up to the top of this high table, and there he begins to prepare this land early in the spring, he goes ahead and he makes this table safe for the welfare of his sheep. He's careful to go ahead and some of the animals he will have to kill. There are great caves around the side of this particular pasture land, and he will take great boulders and he will cover up that great cave because it will become a home. It will become a place from which wild animals will attack the sheep. And so he will cover that cave with great rocks. He will remove the poisonous weeds one after another. He will gather them, tie them up and kick them out and burn them and destroy them because the sheep will feed on them. The snake holes that abound in that particular land, he will carefully take care of. He will either fill them with rocks or he will take some fat and oil from some hog or something like that and pour it around the hole, and the stench will drive the sheep away. Because otherwise those little serpents, those little adders will be just below the surface in their hole, and as the sheep come to nibble, they will jump out and bite the nose of the sheep. And so he has to protect them. And that particular pasture ground, way, way far away from the home ranch, has got to be carefully readied, carefully prepared. Some of those enemies will be destroyed. Some will be driven away. And others, of course, will be destroyed when the sheep come. Can you see the 12 disciples eating at the Lord's table with his many enemies preparing and planning his death? And the Lord Jesus Christ is the great shepherd and the good shepherd who's going to lay down his life for the sheep. He shares in great cost what was involved to make that pasture for you and me. It is so helpful for us to be reminded of that time after time after time of the infinite cost of my blessed Redeemer's provision for this table. Partaking of the Lord's table can be a place of safety from enemies as well. There are a number of enemies. There are the enemies of false doctrine. There's the attractive weeds that the sheep will go to immediately because they are attractive, but they are poisonous. And you can lose hundreds of sheep at just a couple of days from the poisonous weeds that are around. We have that same false doctrine. There are fleshly desires. There is also fierce destruction. And there is a sense of safety. There is a sense of warmness and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those fleshly desires don't show up at the Lord's table as we are occupied with him. As we're lifting him up and exalting him and worshiping and adoring him, there's no place for fleshly desires. There are foul deceptions out there. As we come to the simplicity that is found in Christ, our feasting at that lovely table will very often keep us from those deceptions. Finally, there were the participants at this table. Have you ever been to a restaurant and a young couple come in and say, table for two? And you look up and you hear those two as they begin to talk together and are led by someone over to a table for two. And they sit down and they begin to talk, and maybe for hours. They just spend time together. They don't even know you're there. You watch them as they commune, as they fellowship together, as they look into each other's eyes, as they hold hands, and as they share their affection and their love for each other. Totally oblivious. And finally, the meal comes and they eat that meal together, and she shares something of what she's purchased, and he shares something of what he has purchased, and they eat it together. Just the two. And after a while, pay the bill and they walk out. Table for two. That's the kind of picture the shepherd would like us to see. He and I, just fellowshipping together, to share the meal, to share the intimate care, totally engrossed in each other. We know the Lord is engrossed in us. The question is, are we engrossed in him? The question is whether we are taken up with him. At that table which has been spread, is he the only one that is occupying our mind? Is he the only one that's involved in our thoughts? That's the kind of picture he's talking about. Again, it's just one sheep and one shepherd, and they are there together on that high alpine mountain. Just the two of them. And they're fellowshipping together. Just he and you. We sang a song this morning at the Lord's table. Sweet the moments which in blessing. Musing on the cross we spend, life and health and peace possessing from the sinner's dying friend. Here's another one. Jesus, Lord, we know thee present at thy table, freshly spread, seated at thy priceless banquet, with thy banner overhead, precious moments at thy table, from all fear and doubt set free, here to rest, so sweetly able, occupied, alone with thee. It's the shepherd's table that he's provided. It's the highlight of the year. All year long, the sheep have been waiting for the end of that long trip up the mountain to that lovely pasture that's been prepared by the shepherd. And when they arrive, they're like little children, kicking their feet back and forth, rolling in the grass and just enjoying it. The shepherd just thrilled that his sheep enjoy so much his provision. Do you not see that with the Lord's visit with his disciples in Luke chapter 24? He came to them as guests and he walked along with them and they asked the question, didn't you know what happened in Jerusalem? And he began at Moses and all the prophets and he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They persuaded him to have the meal with them. And they sat down at the table, and he took the bread, and he broke it. He became known to them in the breaking of the bread. And immediately he was gone. What did they say? Did not our hearts burn within us when he talked with us by the way? That's the kind of relationship the Lord Jesus Christ likes to have with his sheep. A burning heart, just occupied with him. Oblivious of all the other people in the room. Just he and I, fellowshipping and sharing together. It's the kind of thing that he's talking about. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. And our shepherd holds out those morsels for us. And if we're near, he will feed us. I wonder if this was the highlight of the year for the sheep, if the Lord's Supper shouldn't be the highlight of the week for his sheep. It's the place that he has called us, invited us to feast with him, to enjoy and participate in his faithfulness, to enjoy his friendship, to participate in his fellowship. Can you say this morning, with this sheep, you have prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies? I trust you have feasted at that table. You found it enjoyable. You've gone to the Word of God time after time after time. And he's fed you with the bread of heaven, which he will do every day, every week, and every time you come. Shall we pray together? Father, we're reminded of the Gospel Supper and the parable the Lord Jesus Christ told of providing a tremendous feast, and then going out into the road and inviting those to come, and no one would come. And each one with consent began to make excuse why they could not eat the Gospel Supper. We know how disappointing it must have been to you to have provided the wonderful Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to have so few come feast, to receive your word as the bread of life, to partake of that water as that which will satisfy. We are conscious again this morning of that simple but profound table that has been prepared by our Lord Jesus Christ. Only bread and only wine, yet to face the solemn sign of the heavenly and divine. Heavenly Father, we thank you for it. And we ask we might hear your voice drawing us to this table in worship, in adoration, and in praise, because of our Lord Jesus Christ, who prepared it for us. We offer you our thanks in his name.